Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Woodbird Theater. We now present Off Book.
Off Book. The improvised musical podcast with Zach and Jess.
December 28th, 9 p.m.
Western Standard Time?
From here on in, we play without a script. See if anything comes of it instead of our
Jessica,
old shit.
Jessica, don't say that word.
First up, Brett, playing the Gibson guitar he played all year. He already tuned it.
So we hear.
Are you talking to me? Not at all. Poor Brett doesn't understand rent references. Poor Brett doesn't understand rent references. Poor Brett. He's never seen rent. Poor Brett, he's never seen rent.
Never seen rent.
Oh, here's a young man, Brett Morris, plays the guitar.
Cold air blowing through the door.
Oh, poor Brett doesn't get these rent references. Doesn't get rent references
because he hasn't seen rent.
Oh, poor Brett
doesn't get these rent references. He doesn't get these rent references because he hasn't seen. When they threw the poodle out the window, it used to be a parrot. Because again, it's based on love of him. Oh,
poor Brett
doesn't get these rent references. He doesn't get these rent references because he hasn't seen rent. About. Oh my God, oh Maureen, it took me a second.
He doesn't know Benny. He doesn't know Collins or Angel.
He doesn't know Collins or Angel.
Can you tell?
And he doesn't know Windows Squeegee Guy.
Poor Brett.
He doesn't get these red references because he hasn't seen red. No songs, glory.
Welcome to Off Book, the Improvised Musical Podcast.
With Zach and Jess. That one's Zach Reno.
That one's Jessica McKenna. We got the aforementioned Brett Morris. That feeling when the chord hits. No songs, glory, hasn't seen.
Oh, but you're almost doing it. Gosh, dang it. This is so amazing when you kind of like wiggle around a reference you don't even know. Oh my gosh. Give it up for Scott Passarella, King of Pianists, Pianist of Kings.
Who has seen Rent. I think he's seen it.
Can he prove it right now with playing something? There you go.
That's all it took?
If you know, you know, Brett.
One chord?
Well, hold on. The next
one chord
I
glory.
Somehow avoided that one chord the whole time.
Well, no, because you I don't know how to explain it, but yes.
Yes, that chord
it's the
is
first
the
song really? Of the most I, well, here, you'll hear the whole thing.
Yes.
No. 525,000. That's right.
So you know it from that one chord,
Brett.
And you're very close to playing this riff that he plays, which is
anyway. Also, Dana Wickens
on the Stickins, the boom from the other room,
famously has seen Rent.
Definitely has seen Rent
so many times.
Everyone's on the mic today because it's a fam band episode, the fam band where we fam jam. Everyone. How was your Christmas? Listen, guys, I'm going to be real. We're recording this in...
Well, I always feel like it's fun to be honest and give it a timestamp. This is November 9th.
It's November 9th, but not where you are. Where you are, it's later.
Well, here's how it works. You know, it comes to the end of the year, you start banking them up, so...
Listen, we're all going to be on various cruise lining ships for all of December, on various sort of train journeys around the world. No, it just gets, you know, everyone goes home for the holidays, so we do these early.
So we're just going to have a little bit of fun today. I mean, we don't need to... Do you care if this is topical? No, you don't care.
It's not
going
to be topical, but I think to the point in your great email,
thank
Jessica,
you.
Tell us all to get our heads in the right space that this is going to be the end of your episode. Jessica, by the way, is a top tier emailer.
Thank you so much.
Like enumerated lists. They may not have actual numbers, but like the paragraph breaks are coming where the ideas are.
So well
makes
formatted.
It really easy to like respond to all of the ideas.
Thank you. That's really, wow, that's the best Christmas gift I could ever receive.
I mean, if you can, I mean, to be a top tier emailer, such a benefit to any group. They don't teach it in school, but it's so important.
Oh, ooh. Can you format this correctly? Do you have an opening joke? Can you circle back and make a reference about something which you spoke? But don't get too confusing. Don't get too far in the weeds. Assume that people are scanning these, so make them perfectly clear, please.
Know when to be CC and just when to CC. You see the way you eat mail is perfect to me, because you know when to be CC and you know when to CC. You see the way you email is perfect to me.
How long do you let it go before you say, hey, just circling back?
You
Wow. Wow. That was a great keychain.
Scott.
Oh. Wow.
There were a couple, I couldn't get eye contact with you because you were working so hard, but like very clearly, very near the opening of that song, I just turned and stared at you. I was like, Scott. Even before the keychain.
Yeah.
Beautiful work.
Beautiful work.
One of my favorite songs we've ever done.
Yes. No, for real. We got to release that one.
Ending 2021. That
one, we're ending 2021 with some bangers.
Oh my gosh. Some, bangers and
some,
mash.
With some emails and some bangers and mash. By the way, I got from our store a tank top with the bangers and mash on it.
Good work.
And Every Place I Cry. So when I'm at the tennis court, I'm just, you know, I'm funneling money back to ourselves mostly through Tee Public, who takes most of the money.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. I did the same with the Let's Just Have Fun Out There, but I did it before we did the color correction to make the font clear. And so I was like, no, I actually don't really want... Apologies. It still looks cool, but I was like, I really want this to be a little more easily read.
Okay.
But it's, hey, you live, you learn.
Maybe someone will get you a Christmas present in the past.
When I saw, shout out to Ethan.
Ethan Edenberg, the Cooties podcast. Yeah.
Was repping an Every Place I Cry tank. And I was like, whoa. And he's like, when I saw Zach in this, I was like, Zach got a tank.
I did. Listen, when I'm on the tennis court, I'm a different man.
Does everyone know that one of the biggest changes for you in 2021 is you became a tennis boy?
That's right. Now I try to be, I feel like when I'm out there.
He's out there.
When I'm out there on the course.
Out there on the court.
Tennis is a stodgy white person sport. Except
in its
not anymore, baby.
In its origins. But
in its origins.
Those sports are becoming more, like, we should keep pushing to make them more egalitarian.
And I'm trying out there every day with sort of rebel tennis, let's say. I don't wear normal tennis clothes. I'm a little bit different in the way that I go. I don't use the green balls. I buy mine specialty red so they look like fireballs. Yeah, you heard what I said. It's tennis, but tennis with a Z. Talking tennis, that's the tennis for me.
Ooh, look out,
it's tennis with a Z. Tennis, that's the tennis for me. Why don't you tell me about it?
Oh, let me make sure I get this right. You're not playing in no Wimbledon whites. You aren't playing like Federer or Nadal.
Is the tennis for me? And then sometimes we shred the net apart and we rip on it like it's an electric guitar. And you'll hear it, we sound like shining stars. A little something like this. Ooh, we rip apart the tennis net and we use it to string our guitars.
Deuces, wow.
On the court, it's not 15 love. We're doing riffs sent from above. And nobody wins, and everyone wins, and everyone sins, cause it's tennis. Tennis with a Z. We're playing tennis. That's a tennis for me. What you know about tennis?
I'm a
Ten is for me. We're not drinking gin and tonics. We're drinking Everclear poured into cactus cooler.
I've never had Everclear.
It's powerful.
I believe it.
This might not... Let me navigate if this is an interesting story or maybe just a bad
this
one.
This is my favorite segment. My favorite segment. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Jessica Navigates. Is this an interesting story or just something that has popped into her head? With Jessica McKenna, and here's your host, Jessica McKenna.
Hey, everybody. I think that probably this doesn't look good.
Okay. We have the forecast on the board. Those of you in Vegas putting money on it, the odds are against this being a worthwhile story. But either way, we're going to hear it now from our host, Jessica McKenna.
So, in college, we would fundraise to...
I'm sorry, what college is that?
Northwestern Go Cats.
Story improved.
Story.
Okay.
One of the ways that we would fundraise to put on plays is we would have fundraising parties. So like a big part of my social life was going to parties where you paid $5 at the door. And then that was like, that would be how the show would like build their set.
You're like a real Washington elite.
That's right.
Where all the parties are fundraisers.
Yeah. And everybody did this all the time. And then my senior year, the administration decided to like crack down on them. And like we were just the most recent. I was the president of this group that was the most recent one. And I had to go in front of like disciplinary hearings, even though I wasn't in charge of that show, wasn't at the party, but was just like the Vertigo president. So I had to answer to like the fact that what was happening was they found out that they were selling. You're not allowed to just sell alcohol is what you're essentially doing. Even though we were like, no, you're just paying $5 to get into this apartment.
But you don't have a sure, liquor yeah. license group of college
yes,
students.
And apparently something that someone was doing specifically at this party was walking around the dance floor, pouring Everclear on top of people's drinks. Like adding additional high proof topper. Alcohol topper.
A little floater of Everclear.
A floater of Everclear on top.
An Everfloat.
Yeah, an Everfloat, which is not a good idea. Everclear might not even be sold. It's not sold everywhere.
It's illegal.
It's illegal in places.
Wow.
Grain alcohol.
Yeah.
It's one of those.
You can set it on fire.
I freshman year, like literally day two of college, there was someone in our hall who had Everclear, and I was like, I've never had this before.
I'm sorry, which college?
Emerson College. Go. We don't have any sports teams.
Story improved.
And I just remember having some sort of like fruit punch, and like no matter how much juice was involved in the drink with Everclear, you could absolutely still taste the Everclear.
Here's where Everclear here's where Everclear shines: in a Jello shot.
Yeah,
that's kind of like its main function, and you really can't taste it, and it's very dangerous because it's very, very powerful.
Okay, okay.
Anyway, I think that's not a great story.
I wasn't gonna circle back to it, because just I actually thought it was a top tier story, maybe not, but an excellent detailed filled transition to just like a new world of talking about stuff.
Thanks so much, Zach. You know, they're not all full stories, but I was also like, yeah, this is probably some college irresponsibility that I don't know if I want to cop to.
The
in this
idea
moment.
Of someone like, well, I mean, not of you. Were you the person walking around pouring Everclear floaters? Yeah, you're fine.
Brett probably was.
Brett, was,
Brett,
that
was it you?
No, I wouldn't just give someone like a cold foam topper of Everclear in there.
I love the
drink.
Presentation you're picturing.
Yeah.
Like foam.
I mean, it's almost treating it like that.
Yeah,
you know?
No, for sure.
It's an aggressive move.
Have we talked?
No, I was going to. No, go ahead.
I was going to say, have we talked about Red Robin mixologists lately?
No.
Now, do you guys remember how Red Robin is a restaurant?
I know there was one. There was one.
I can't remember how regional Red Robin is.
It's kind of regional.
I mean, do you have a mall that needs a restaurant outside of
Red
it?
Robin? That's yum.
That's the jingle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Also, Red Robin, yum 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 yum.
What?
Jingle improved.
Also, Red yum 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 yum.
Red Robin. I see.
Here's the thing: all jingles are the same.
Okay, Red Robin mixologist, go ahead.
They were just doing this thing where, like, the bartenders at Red Robin weren't bartenders. They were mixologists.
Which is, as we know, usually reserved for 2012 circa city bars.
Yeah.
Not like, that's not a thing that was, that's like when Portlandia makes fun of a bartender, it's a mixologist. You know what I mean? Not something that a chain restaurant does.
And that's a little bit of a bummer only because, like, in terms of the fantasy Castle City careers that kind of almost could exist in the real world, I feel like mixologist is getting close. Like,
because it's like,
you can't be a knight, really.
Because it's like an alchemist?
Also, well, it's literally like what we all pictured potions. When I was like, I want to be a scientist. I'm 5 years old, which means I'm going to pour this bubbly liquid into this bubbly liquid and it's going to be cool.
I see.
Like brightly covered concoctions that look good that you get to then immediately drink. Because like science is a bunch of stuff you don't get to eat. And when you get to eat it, they don't call it science anymore. They call it cooking.
There's a lot of science you don't get to eat.
There's too much science you don't. Yeah. We don't talk about this enough. The science you can't eat.
Thank you, molecular physicist, and thank you, biochemist, and thank you, botanist, zoologist, but, well, thank you, astrophysicist.
Thank you, astrophysicist and ocean biographist.
Thank you,
marine biologist.
Top of everything else.
Leonard and Asa. We'll be back after a short break.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Yeah, the back of the slats is flat. We're not recording this, but there was a moment where Jessica was staring at me, even looking at my mouth,
yeah,
unable to parse the words that were coming out of it.
It took me a long time to realize you were doubling up the flat.
Flat back
so slats. I was like, what's the second word if not...
It's not fat.
Yeah.
That would counteract the flat.
Yeah.
It'd be flat fat back slats.
How are you?
How are you?
How was that break?
It feels good. It's made me refreshed for the end of the year, which is what it is now.
The end of the year.
And I can just picture immediately what it will be like. And we all know that that always goes well because whatever we picture the future to be comes true.
Yeah, we all have superpowers.
Listen, I bought some... Okay, now it's time for Zach's segment. Story or thing that popped into his head?
With your host, Zach Reno.
Ladies and gentlemen, I bought some native plants at an all-native plant nursery the other day.
Uh-huh, great.
Now, the thing about these plants is that you don't have to treat them with soil or anything.
Because they're supposed to be here.
They're supposed to be here. You just put them in the ground. Deers love them. Birds love them. Even educated fleas love them. Let's do it. Let's plant these plants. Here's the other thing, though. They all sort of look like weeds. Look, when you go to your Home Depot or your Osh Hardware or your Ace Hardware or your local, like all those plants are there to look good. Most of them are not from the area that you're in, at least in California where we're a big desert pretending that we're not.
Do you not like any of the desert plants? Can you not get some creosote? That smells great, especially after it rains.
No, they're great. We got a fairy duster, which is
lovely.
They're very pretty, but...
Sage, a lot of desert sage.
We got some sage, a lot of manzanitas. Look, they're beautiful. They're all little beautiful weeds, though.
Because, Zach, I do have to say, one man's weed is another man's flower.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, baby. My weed is my flower, if you know what I mean. This is what this podcast is, right?
Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Let me just...
Listen. Listen, first of all, weed is legal in California, so lay off me, doctor. Dr. Kentucky, it's fine.
Hey, get out of here. Get out of here, lawman, Arkansas.
But here's the deal. Let me tell you about a little bit what it feels like to be real high. It makes me be like, what is the order in which I do the things I always do before I get ready for bed? It's so confusing, man. What do I do first? Do I put the toothpaste in my mouth or face cream on my hand? I don't know. I'm going slow, trying to figure out how I do something I've done 100 times before. I don't know. I'm going real slow, doing things I've done 100 times. I'm also the best song we've ever done.
Also, maybe the first time you and I have really talked about our experience being high, which is about the same experience, which is that we were late bloomers with weed, and now we do a lot of sleepy edibles.
Oh, yep. You heard it here first, folks. Here's what we like to do.
We like to take a well-regulated sleepy gummy and go night-night.
The time between 7 and 9 p.m., when surely no one will call upon me to do anything necessary. I will stare at my phone, wondering if a text I have sent to this group thread is funny or if it's insane. I'll proofread it a couple times. I'll graze like some sort of sheep outside of the cabinet where the nuts are.
Yep. Here's
Now here's the comedic line.
Oh, whoops.
I'm not bringing nuts into the bed.
Yeah. You got to be careful about that. No snacks in the bed.
Yeah.
You don't want crumbs. They'll stay there forever.
That's where ants will go. You want ants in your... You want dream ants?
Oh, do you want dream ants?
Oh, what are you going to say?
Who could say? Oh, I think I have talked about this before, and we've talked about this a lot in life, which is that you and I really both believe in sleep masks, too.
Ooh.
Nothing? Listen, what's that?
You both wear sleep masks?
I don't. Nicole does every night, but when I'm having trouble, like, listen, we all have little tiny parrot brains, and sometimes someone needs to throw a sheet over the cage to
and
make
say,
your brain be like,
you're it's actually time.
It's nighttime now.
It's actually yeah. nighttime.
You need to be
yeah.
a falcon.
I use it every night now. Every night. And it's excellent.
I do find that I... Sorry.
He lost his headphones.
I lost.
Here they go.
They fell off his head.
I'm not actually high, but we've talked about being so high. I'm getting
contact.
I'm getting improv high.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels a lot. It feels very similar.
Are those new shoes?
Relatively, yeah.
They're so clean. And so
I'm
white.
Keeping them. I'm keeping them crisp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is an audio medium. I remember.
I'm wearing crisp
white
Reeboks. These are vegan leather.
Wow.
I love that.
So the cow like only ate.
The cow only.
The cow that they were
grazed.
Made from only ate.
Did you guys have any plants? Experience with Reebok pumps?
I wanted them desperately, but I think that
they
was A, too
ever.
Young and the world was too gendered to let me wear
pump it up. That's sad. Same. I wanted the pump.
That was
I wanted to pump them up.
Yeah.
I didn't
have
childhood.
With those. You know what I did covet but never had, but also never asked for it, but always thought were cool, were those LA lights.
Yes. Oh, I had light up sneakers 100%.
I desperately wanted them to come in my size for my high school graduation. I really wanted to have light up sneaks under my robe.
That
cool.
almost certainly is a thing that now exists.
Now it does
area,
exist.
Right?
Yeah. There's been lots of innovations in light up shoes.
People have been putting lights all over kind of places. Instagram tells me about all these lights that don't even need to get plugged in. You just stick them to your wall and they're lights.
Hell
you know?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
My friends Jen and Lucas wore light up sneaks at their wedding and it was a showstopper.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I love
they changed
that.
Into
they
them
stopped their own show.
Yeah.
Power move. Just stop your, to be the showstopper at your own wedding.
I gotta say, I went to a wedding this past weekend as we were at different weddings. Yeah. Brett and Dana were also at a wedding
yes.
this weekend. And this weekend.
Hold on, Scott, were you at a wedding this weekend?
No, I was not.
Me neither. What's wrong with us?
No.
What did we do? No,
I was at a wedding like 2 weekends ago.
Fuck. Still doesn't count.
What's wrong with me?
You'll get there, dude.
Thanks for always believing
yeah,
in
no
me.
Yeah, no problem.
Continue.
This was probably the best wedding band I've ever seen.
Okay.
They were incredible. They had a full horn section.
Yes.
Three singers.
Yes.
And when they took breaks... one of their singers DJ'd in the breaks. So like we had a wedding band and when we gave them breaks, I just like switched it over to a playlist I prepared. Cause I was like, well, this is just to last like 20 minutes. Let me just like put a few hip hop songs on and then they'll come back. But they also provided DJ transitioned, but they were incredible. They had dance moves. The singers did the sax player twice came out and danced on the floor with the sax.
Incredible.
I mean,
yes.
It was really amazing.
We didn't have a wedding band. We had a ceremony band and half of them are in this room.
Yes.
Jessica and Scott, baby. Brett and Dana weren't invited because...
You didn't know them, really.
Because we were feuding at the time.
No, you literally didn't know them.
Because we were in a big fight about whether or not we had met yet.
About whether or not our paths would cross. Yeah, because I was going to say, my memory is that that's like one of the first times we hung out like more than like the occasional Story Pirate show. Because it was you, me, Fiona, and Mike Carlson.
That's right. You were on... You were playing a melodica because we didn't, or did you bring a keyboard?
I think I brought the Glockenspiel, maybe.
You brought the Glockenspiel.
But I can't remember
but
what.
Fiona played guitar. You played.
I played melodica.
You played melodica. What?
Yeah.
It was a bring your own Glockenspiel.
If you're Scott, I'll let you bring whatever you want
to
play.
I got to bring a Glockenspiel then. I think if you had the melodica, that makes sense.
Yes. Yeah. And then Fiona and Carson played guitar.
Right.
At the wedding we were at, there was an ABBA cover band.
Whoa.
That was incredible.
I want to say our dear friend Eric Calvert was the drummer in my wedding band.
Oh, really?
And my wedding band was awesome and had like a emotional, like it was the Story Pirates guy was the leader. They were tonally very sweet and correct, but like the size and scale of them was not as like, they didn't have a horn section, for example.
No, the thing you are describing is a capital B band.
Yes, which I was like, I've gone to a few weddings with horn sections, but the combo of three young, attractive singers dancing together who were all incredible.
How,
I was like,
how dare they?
I was like, this is, these people are amazing. Yeah. They were so good.
Wow. There's a lot of talented, I mean, it's so rough. Because I want all these talented people to all have mansions, and they don't get them.
I know.
How do we do that?
It's not just about talent,
unfortunately. Is it about overthrowing the powers that be?
It is, yes, of course, and always. But it is also like, unfortunately, there aren't that many people who get to do it for a full big time living.
That's true.
That's just...
There's Lyle Lovett and his big band. Which I assume has all the instruments in it because the band is so big.
I mean, a good wedding band makes good money.
That's what you're trying to figure out. Like, if any, this must be the high, one of the highest paid.
Yeah.
They, because this was a pandemic pushed wedding.
Ooh,
this is a family friend.
Harry and Meghan.
Yes. That's, yep.
By horns, the horn section instrument, like the very
fugal horns. they did like a small, got married last year.
Yes.
On their actual date with like just their family, had dinner and they got married.
Great.
Then they
left the palace.
They had a baby. Yeah, wow, this is really lining up.
Oh,
and then they had a second wedding.
That's fun.
So the two things that they kept for like all of these holds and pushes and whatever, because they also had a long initial engagement, was the venue and the band. They were like, we locked this band because this band is the greatest band, and they were really...
That's
incredible.
Amazing.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for coming out. Let's give it up for the bride and groom. Oh, everybody, who's ready to have a good time tonight? Oh, yeah. Everyone knows. Everyone knows.
Less from you, more from the sexy horn player. Give them the mic.
Okay.
Yeah, over here. Give it to him.
Okay.
Yeah, you. You're the one. But I also want to hear you talk. Come on now.
Oh, you want to hear from me on the trombone? Oh, this never happened before. Oh, I normally just slide around in a bound, trying to play my notes in chords.
Oh, not only you, but I see there's three. Doing harmony, and I have got to say, when I see you all play, I'm thinking you all toot toot toot, and you are cute cute cute. Oh yeah, you toot toot toot, and you are cute cute cute. Oh yeah. And when I see you with your syncopation, there's nothing.
Look
Okay,
that's the best song we've ever done.
That one is the best song we've ever done. That's the Scotty on the sax.
Most Scotty on the sax singing we've ever
playing
had.
Playing and singing at the same time.
Say blow, blow, blow.
Oh, I don't know that. I want all of you to sort of think about how hard musical improv is. Now play the piano improvise while you're doing it, and also do the jokes that we have already set up, and be having to kind of listen to the.
And also, it's not a ballad.
Also, it's not a ballad. It's actually pretty fast, and that is Scott Passarella, and that's why we can't let him sing, because I'd be out of a job. It'd be the improvised musical podcast with Scott and Jess, and I'd turn to crime. Let's be real. I'd turn to cream. What did I say the first time?
Crime.
No, cream. I'd become a dairy farmer. I'd turn right to cream.
Oh, me? Right to cream. I've been watching. I watched this docuseries on Netflix. This is Pop. And they had. Have you watched any of this? Anybody?
I have, yeah.
It's pretty fun.
I'm sure I have not. Hold on. Would the two of you care to weigh on? And how confident are you that you have or have not seen this?
Oh, I definitely haven't.
Nope.
Okay. Pretty sure I did.
Okay.
Continue.
So I watched an episode about, every episode's about like a different topic in pop music. And so it's like different things are featured.
A topic in pop music.
And
I'm sorry, my brain is broken.
No, it's quite
right. Ignore me for the rest of the episode.
Oh, just me alone on this couch. There was an episode on Britpop, which I didn't really think about until listening to favorite podcast, 60 Songs That Explain the 90s. Have I talked about this on the
pod? Not on this pod, by the way, y'all.
Oh my gosh.
60 Songs That Explain the 90s is an incredible deep dive into both music and like
culture snapshots.
Rob Harvella, is that his name? He is like an incredible writer.
Yeah.
It's clearly a written podcast. He's not like riffing, but man.
He riffs with his guests, but yeah. So the structure of the episode is like a 15 to 20 minute written intro.
It's a Spotify original, by the way.
Yes.
But that means, because it's on Spotify, they can play all of the parts of and then end the episode with the entire song.
Right.
So that they're talking about every episode.
And at this airing, I believe all 60 should be out. So now you can binge all of them, I think. Maybe it's like four or five songs short. But there's a giant catalog out now. So it's, yeah, he talks in this very well-composed written intro that'll give like either a contemporary or a snapshot of what was happening or like what, you know, in the episode about I Want It That Away, he'll give you an overview of that Swedish music school.
Yeah, like Max Martin and all sort of.
And then he'll talk to a guest that knows about either what's happening musically or knows about like that era music or that band. And then he plays the song. And it's so great.
It's really wonderful.
It's really amazing. So I didn't really, obviously, I think I like ingested. What's cool about it for our age group is that we were alive for this, but maybe not that aware.
Correct.
And so some of it we completely missed, or some of it you're like, oh yeah, I vaguely remember that. Oh, cool to have more context, depending on where it lands in the decade. So Britpop, I was like aware of, but not really. And he talks a lot about it, about like the Blur Oasis battle. He featured a song from Pulp, Common People. And anyways.
That song rules.
It's a great song.
The Oasis episode is truly insane.
Yes.
Because those brothers are like famously feuding in a very petty and very funny way.
And Britpop in general, I just didn't know that. Anyway, there's another episode about This Is Pop, has an episode about Britpop, which is great. And one of the members of Blur, I think the bass player, just runs a cheese farm now. So
he turned to cream.
And that's how we got here, ladies and gentlemen. And this is a segment called Jessica will walk you through her train of thought. That's how he turned to cream.
Just a
bass player from Blur turning to cream. It's very sweet because he gives these interviews in his like gorgeous farm where he's like out in his galoshes just being like, and then like sitting in his like house being like, yeah, I don't know, it was a great time. Now I make cheese.
That's the actual dream.
Yeah.
The cycle continues.
I would like, that's such a healthier third act for than most like rock stars.
Sure. Sure.
I want them all to end up on their own personal version of a dairy farm.
You know, it's very interesting with like this Britpop stuff. There was like a rejection of American culture dominating, and like Britpop was a reaction to grunge.
Sorry, Britpop.
but sorry for our excellence. But it's so funny because obviously we have massive class issues here, but the class issues in the UK are so interesting because like the divide between the working class and the middle class, which I think sometimes we think of only as divide as like upper class and lower class.
We've been like steadily erasing our middle class.
Right. And also we don't like the middle class and the working class definitely don't always help each other, but they aren't like as much enemies in the stratification that it is, I think, in the UK in the same way.
And in America, I think it would be harder to divide the middle class and the working class.
Right, right, yes. Yeah. Like, sometimes the powers that be, like, play us against each other, obviously, but
Let's say always.
Yes, when they have the opportunity, they do. But, like, we don't inherently, like, hold that as deeply. We definitely still do, but as deeply. In the way that they talk about, like, Blur versus Oasis, I'm like, wait, how different is this upbringing? Wait,
which
really?
One is working class?
Oasis. They're from Manchester. They're from the north.
Okay.
And then Britpop was very London-centric. So, like, even Pulp, which is Britpop, has this famous song, Common People, about a rich girl trying to be like, she wants to live like common people. And how, like, you can never understand because you're not actually a common person. But then people are like, well, but Pulp, you have more money than the working class. You know, like, it's just very, which we would do too, but like the specificity, I think, is a little different over there, which I don't
they
really
get
think about.
Very specific over there.
Very specific about
and
like
accents and everything.
Well, that's the also reason why, like, it is so much easier to tell an American doing a British accent than it is to tell a British person doing an American accent, because in American accents, unless you are from someone very specific,
yeah,
like
you can have a kind of generic one.
It's you can't really tell where people are from.
And class is less in our accent than region.
Than in our bank account.
for our dear fans in the UK, feel free to slide into our DMs and tell me about how everything I said was wrong. But
sure, we don't know.
I don't know.
We're Americans. That means we pop off about stuff we don't know about. Part of our identity.
The point is, I was like, oh, geez, that's a little bit different than us.
The point is, we don't know and we're learning.
I'm trying to learn through pop music.
We're trying to learn through pop music.
But
podcasts.
Anyway, 60 Songs to Explain the 90s slaps very hard. Shout out to that pod.
Shout out to that pod and Rob Harvella. You're doing great work.
I slid into his DMs on Twitter to say,
did you?
Wow. Yes.
Did he reply?
He did. He said, I said, like, oh, I had binged it. I had, like, at that point, there were, like, 35 episodes out. And I was like, I've listened to this in the course of a week. And he was like, oh, dear, that's a lot of my voice. And I was like, it's great.
Yeah.
Great, great, great show.
Great show.
Great show. Okay, let's end this episode.
With a song.
With a song.
And the song will be forthcoming. And we'll figure it out as we go. And y'all should know that's basically what we do here.
Yeah. I just sort of banned you guys. You guys go ahead.
Do
and
you
it.
Do. We always.
I'm feeling that Oasis vibe.
Okay, all right. I love that.
That starts with
that. One song we did was almost that.
Do we do? Oh, today.
Yeah.
Do we do an almost Wonderwall?
We did an almost Wonderwall. We can do a different.
Which one? Which?
Oh, our weed song.
It was your weed song.
Oh yeah.
We can get chill. We can get chiller and dormier. We can go almost.
You can do champagne supernova.
Yeah, we can go into like Jack Johnson territory, which is not the same thing, but you know what I mean, vibe wise.
Real Brit pop. Jack
Real
Johnson.
Brit pop, like.
Brett or you can pop. Play something more like Blur.
Like Blur.
Shoes on after put on my socks. I know which gems are gems and which gems are rocks. I know how to put my car in a parallel park, and I know how to wear a sleep mask after dark. But I know there's things that I don't know.
If I don't even know how, I know that different countries have different representatives. Those differences, wow.
I know there are lords and commons. I know there are kings and queens. I know there are parts of the flag, and I know what each flag means. But I know what I don't know. I know what I don't know. I know what I don't know. I know. I know. I know.
some kind of owl. What kind of owl?
Woohoo!
Sing, you said it would only happen once. Hey, you said this wouldn't happen again. But here I am, singing it again.
Ooh, and he no.
I don't know.
And I know, and I know, and I know, and I know. I know, and I don't know. And I know.
Scott Passarella, king of pianists, pianist of kings,
balancing a bass on his knee, sings even when he's the 1-2-3 of a trumpet of a horn section.
What a choice, pianos or his voice.
Give it up for Dana Wickens on the Stickins, the boom from the other room. She knows a wrench reference. Give it up for yourselves. Give it up for Sean Matthew Leary. Thank you so much for all the help you do and all the help you do, all the help you give, all the work you do.
Thank you for all of you who supported us this year.
Yes.
You kept the pod going directly by the contributions you made at offbookclubhouse.com. And those of you that supported the show in other ways, whether it's by writing a review or just telling a friend about it, we really do appreciate it. Truly, this has been a real family effort this whole dang year, and it's only here because of you, and like we cannot stress enough.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wishing you and your family and loved ones a healthy and happy new year. And as we say, at the end of every year of Off Book.
That's right. I'm sorry. Did you just toot, toot, toot?
Because guess what? You are cute, cute, cute.
What if an owl did it?
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.